It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Everybody, you are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than a Clorox injection. We're better than that, I promise you. You could join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davincomedy.com. Click live broadcast. Also, you can watch us on Facebook Live on the Davin's Den Facebook page. I am your frustrated host, Davin Rosewald. I'm joined on the phone by the man who is learning every one of the best of Eddie Van Halen's greatest synthesizer solos. It's Joe Carey. Hello, Joe.
Hey, how's it going?
And the woman who spends her days pulling tinsel from a cat's ass, Pip Helix.
Hi,
Pip. I can never listen to the song "Pulling Muscles from a Shell" without thinking about you now. And that's yes, and you have yours. As usual, we're back trying to get you through this pandemic. I apologize if Joe and Pip sound a little lower. Quite frankly, I felt they were both getting uppity, and it was time to turn them down. No, we hit some tech issues. On the show, School of Fools, a Harvard professor argues to ban homeschooling. Turbulent air. Passengers are forced to board a crammed flight, and most of the people aren't wearing masks. What could possibly go wrong? A new study shows that when a celebrity passes on rumors and hoaxes, more of you folks listen to it and believe it on. Shame on you. I'm happy to bring this bit back we haven't done in quite some time. Great debates of absurdity, and we have the presidential version. We will have President Pip Trump. No, excuse me, Dr. Pip Trump versus Dr. Joe Trump in a furious battle to determine the best way to get rid of COVID-19. Is it a disinfectant injection or letting your inner light shine? Pip and Joe will do their best to plead their cases, so I hope you listen seriously, take notes, and go out and try whichever one you feel makes the most compelling case. Also, Pip has a Bitches Be Crazy. We'll do some Scamming Scammers with Lacey. All sorts of stuff going on tonight. Got rid of the tech issues, my hair. We're getting to the point with the hair now where we better fucking open shit up. It's time. My hair's getting unruly. No, I'm just kidding. But I have noticed though, when you start to see the other states open up, you're like, I want to open up too. But then you realize they're going to get sick and that they're going to fucking delay it for everybody. So we're doing the right thing. New York. You know, Cuomo holding it down. The fine peeps of New York holding it down. The beach looks nice, but those people are going to die. And we won't. We'll be safe and snug in our homes, staring at our four walls. And we won't be alive, but we'll have an existence. And I think that's something right there.
I like to say we will have an existence. This isn't an existence right now. It's, you know, you just get up and eat and go to work if you're lucky, or work from your house, and then that's it. There's nothing else to do.
Well, Joe, funny you should mention that. I have something for the fine people. I'm making everybody's quarantine a little bit better. What a nice lead-in for you. Yeah, well, good thing you guys are here. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to get to this point. I just would have had to try all night to figure out how I could squeeze this in. But you fine folks set me up nicely. I appreciate you guys.
Because we're a team. We're a team. We know how to sell the product.
You know what we are? We're a quarantine. That's what we are. A quarantine.
Okay, that's where you lost everybody.
Oh, fuck you.
Bye.
And you're kicked off the quarantine, stupid. How do you like that? All right. So, I have partnered up with our social media guy, Adam, to start an online comedy company called Laugh at Home Comedy. It's going to bring live stand-up comedy into your home. The comedians will be able to hear you and the laughs and even talk to you directly. So it'll be just like a club, except not really. It's really like the next best thing because it's different than watching comics on TV who you can't interact with and they can't hear you. We're going to hear you because we're going to be using the Zoom platform. So you can get our first show is Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. You go to laughathomecomedy.com. You can order tickets. Not only are we bringing you live entertainment, which is amazing. It's so, I mean, how many times can you watch The Tiger King? Enough. I get it. Joe Exotic is a flamboyant dude who molests tigers. It's fun for a while. I understand. But we're bringing live comedy to you. So Joe's going to be on the show with me. But not only, and other comics too. It's all headliners. Bringing you all headliner comics. So there's no downtime in the show. But besides bringing live comedy to you, we are going to give all essential workers free tickets. Your grocery store people, your delivery people, like the post office, UPS, FedEx, DHL, all the medical people, the police, the firemen, the military. You email us at laughathomecomedy@gmail.com, and you show us a picture of you holding up your work ID. We give you a free ticket to the show as a thank you. In addition, every show is going to have a sponsor. This week's sponsor is Portobello Banquets in Oakland, New Jersey, also a sponsor of this show. And our sponsor gets to pick the charity that they would like to donate to. And I'll tell you what, Portobello, right off the bat, they're coming hard at you. A large portion of the proceeds from the tickets that we sell are going to go to St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. So we're giving essential workers free tickets. We're donating to St. Jude's. We're bringing you something you can't see anyplace else. All headliners, live comics. All you got to do is go to laughathomecomedy.com. I'm going to be on the show. I'll host the show. Joe is going to be on the show. Kevin Lee, who you've heard on the show before. Kevin Lee's a friend of the show. He'll be on the show. Jim Mandrinos, Jack Wilhite. We got comedy. We got magic. We got juggling. We got music. It doesn't get better than that. We do have it all. So, I mean, because really, how much can you sit at home and just binge watch? At some point, you want some type of interaction. And this is the closest we can get, because I don't know if and when live stand-up's coming back, to be honest with you.
Wow. Well, I thought you were going to say, because I don't know you people.
No, yeah, I'm going to see you all. But here's the thing, if you don't want to be seen, you don't have to be seen. I'd like for you guys to be seen, but you don't have to be seen. That's fine. That's okay. But if you think about it, with social distancing, I mean, how is this going to work? I mean, is there no longer going to be a front row in the comedy clubs? I mean, these comedy clubs can operate if they're not full on the weekends. If they're like at half capacity or third capacity every week, they're not going to make any money. It just doesn't pay to work. They got the liquor license. You know, they got mortgages. They got to pay a staff. They got to pay rent, whatever the case. It's not going to work. This might be what it is.
That's like any business. Basically, what it's going to do when they start opening up, it's going to be, you're going to see, you know, when it starts opening up, you're not going to see the big crowds. But once people start coming and people are not getting sick and it looks like it's over, then you'll start to see people come a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. The only thing is, by the time we get into out of quarantine, it's getting into the slow season, which is the summer. So I don't know if people are going to be away, if they're going to afford. So it's going to be interesting when it's finally gets rolling. I would say probably sometime around October the clubs will start to get full again, but we'll see.
Hello, Sean. Hello, Lisa. Here's what they're saying, though. They're saying we're going to get a second wave in the fall, and Germany opened up last week, and already they've seen an uptick in infection, so I really don't know what it's going to be. I am really worried about the future of mine and Joe's chosen industry, but I think Laugh at Home Comedy is a nice substitute, and you could do it for your business,
absolutely,
too. So I hope you all check it out on Saturday night, 8 p.m. I actually did my first Zoom show for somebody else on Sunday. So I haven't performed in about a month and a half. My buddy Sean, who's in the chat, was actually with me the last time we performed. I performed. I think it's probably the last time he performed, too, which was a month and a half ago. We did a tour, and I was the Walking Dead for a good part of the tour. But
Yeah.
But fortunately, that Saturday night, I was recovering, and it was good. But I don't know when we're going to perform again. And it's amazing how quickly you forget your act. The shit you wrote. The stuff you've been doing for years. It's amazing how quickly that leaves you.
Oh, please. I can't remember my own life.
And your last, you were away. My last, I was down at the Jersey Shore at Uncle Vinny's. My last week was your last week, too. So we haven't been on the stage over a month.
Month and a half.
And the thing about it is, with comedy, I mean, you freak out. You want to get on stage as much, because even a week, you could lose your rhythm, you know. And you get on, like, if you haven't been up in a week and you get on, sometimes you could lose your rhythm a little bit. So it's going to be interesting. But I've been writing a lot, you know, I've been posting a lot of goofy stuff, which I'm, you know, I want to incorporate into the act. And sometimes comics, there was one comic on Facebook that goes, so I guess a lot of people are going to be writing about the pandemic when everything gets started again. Of course, you asshole. What else would we write about?
Yeah, we've all written about the differences between men and women for the past 50 years. Here's something new.
Yeah, we're going to write about it.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. So I only had to do 10 minutes. And normally I don't even look over stuff for 10 minutes, but I actually had to look over notes. And I opened with 5 minutes of brand new pandemic material. A lot of the stuff I've thrown up on Facebook and everything. So I haven't worked for a month and a half. I'm using a platform I've never used before. And I'm like, you know what? Let's do some new stuff. Let's open the show that way.
Yeah, I wrote I must have written about a new 5 to 7 on this stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And like I said, when that one comic, everybody's going to be writing about, yeah, of course we are, stupid. This is what we're all going through. You know, what am I going to do? What am I going to get up there and go, hey, everyone, dogs are funny? I mean, really?
I mean, it's certainly relatable because everyone's been through it.
Well, I mean, so after having experienced it, first of all, the set went, I think it went pretty well. First of all, having experienced it, it seems like I went further than some have. I set up a backdrop. I plugged into the sound. I stood up because I want it to feel as much as like stand-up comedy as possible. I don't want it to look like I'm hanging out in my bedroom and just reading shit. I don't want that. That's just my choice. That's my choice. And Laugh at Home Comedy, we're certainly going to stress to the comedians to do that as well, to make it look as professional as possible. It is not exactly like performing in a club. It's kind of like performing at a club where there's not a ton of people. It's kind of like that.
We'll be used to that. Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah. Because like there's laughs and you can hear them, but you're not getting that roar, which is okay. I was going slower, but I found myself doing what I do in a comedy club when the audience annoys me and I'm just tired of trying, where I just kind of close my eyes and tell my jokes. But I had to focus. I would like bring myself back and go, no, look at the TV. They're all on the TV. Stop that. It was fun. It was nice to get up and be funny.
You're like one of those singers that closes their eyes while they croon.
I'm Stevie. It's No Wonder. That's what I am. But it was nice to be funny someplace besides the post office, because I've noticed when I've gone to the post office, I'm really up in my humor game. It's weird. I talked to the woman at the post office. I am hilarious at the post office. I mean, I've always been charming at the post office. You don't want to piss those people off, but now,
I know.
Now I'm fucking, oh yeah, your dad. Now I'm funny. I am funny at the post office. So up until the show on Sunday, I had no outlet for this stuff because my family's not amused. They don't give a shit.
Isn't it so weird that people who entertain for a living, that their family is so over them that, but you know, everybody else is like, well, can I have your autograph or whatever? And their family's like, yeah, oh God, he's going to sing again. You know?
No, that's not true. That's because I'll see some performers, or I'll talk to friends, and they'll talk about even Sean, who I did my last tour with, maybe my last tour ever in comedy, as it turns out. Even Sean, like his wife came out to see him on Tuesday night, and she was very excited, and he was very excited, and she still had those stars in her eyes to see her man do it. Yeah, I don't really get a lot of that. Once in a while, once in a while, but it's usually like, yeah, I didn't like when you did that. Why'd you do that? That's usually what I get.
Well, let me tell you something. My ex-wife used to go to my gigs, and there was a place to catch up on sleep. She fell asleep at two of my shows, and I remember I was working up in Massachusetts one night, and she wasn't feeling that well. I go, why don't you just stay in the room? No, I want to go to the show. So I'm the show, and I'm headlining the room, and I'm about 20 minutes in, and I see that she's asleep. And I'm like, hey, everybody, there's my hope. Glad you're enjoying my show. My wife is asleep. The whole place turns around and starts laughing. On the way back to the room, she goes, I don't know why you did that. Why did you do that? Because you fell asleep during the show. You know, you're game two.
Was she snoring? Was she snoring?
No, she wasn't snoring.
All right. Keep working. Don't you didn't have to bring it to you. Just make yourself look bad when you go, yeah, I can't even keep my wife awake.
No. We all laugh like hell at that.
Yeah.
I think that's funny.
I miss that impressed look. Once in a while my wife will be impressed. But honestly, this is gonna sound bad. But I don't mean it to sound bad. She's seen me do well enough at this point after over 20 years that shit doesn't even impress her anymore. So I don't, it's like, he's very talented. He's very good. Okay, next. Why don't you take out the trash? I mean, you know, really.
Oh, let me tell you something. When I started doing comedy in 89 and I started dating this girl. And we went a couple of dates, and I go, yeah, I'm a comic, and this and that. You know, I've been doing comedy maybe a year, you know, and I had a show at Eastside Comedy, and she brings all her friends. Talk about freaking, you know, being nervous.
Pressure.
If I don't have a good set, I look like an asshole, you know. So it was a little, the pressure was on. But I pulled up. Later, I won a comedy contest, and I wound up taking her and her sister and her friends out in a limousine. We got a limousine for the night, you know. On the town, we had dinner and stuff like that. So, you know, not only did I do well that night, it actually paid off because we went around town. But we got in a big fight in the limo on the way home, and it was a pain in the ass, and that's why we never went further than that. But nonetheless.
Lisa says, why don't you try being funny at the grocery store? You know what? You really can't be funny at the grocery store. You know, like, I used to make the cashiers laugh. I mean, I probably still could, but nobody wants to get in and get out. The post office, they know me. I have a rapport with the. I'm probably one of the most charming and entertaining people who posts in my town. I'm willing to say that. I could probably headline my post office. How do you like that?
There's a lot of supermarket checkout people that make it come on like, you know, this is gold, stupid. You should be laughing.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what it is. Like, we kind of jones to be funny. I mean, for a while, the radio show was scratching my itch for the funny. But now it's, I mean, you know, it's fun. It's funny. I like doing it. But it was always a different type of itch. I miss the live. You know what it is? I miss seeing different people. I just miss seeing different human beings. Pretty, ugly, thin, fat, brown, white, yellow, red. I just miss seeing different human beings. I'm seeing the same human beings all the time. And the other human beings that I'm seeing when they are all covered in a mask. I miss seeing human beings.
Well, you know what, though, besides that, the club is our lifestyle. You know, I mean, you go to the club, you know, we've known all the people at all the clubs. You're like family. You go to the club, it's about, it's about the hang, going to the club, seeing your comedy buddies, hanging out, having a cocktail after the gig, laughing, telling stories, talking about the business. And at least with me, that's a very big part of it, you know, and I miss it, man. These guys are like my family, and not to have that around. And, you know, it's like you're all in the same mind and stuff like that. You're all, you know, doing it for your reasons. But it's like a big dysfunctional family, and you miss the club, man.
Yeah. So I'm hoping this laugh at home brings some of that. It's not going to have that hang feel to it. But I'm hoping, at least for me, when I did it on Sunday, when I did my first Zoom show, it was just nice to pretend I was a comedian again. Quite frankly, I'm looking at retirement. I mean, this is it. The post office a couple of weeks ago, like, well, you should apply here. We're fucking hiring. I'm glad I didn't apply because then the president says we're not going to fund it anymore. That's all I would have fucking need. Go through all the rigmarole, take the test, and then the post office folds up and closes shop. That's all I would have needed.
Oh, that'd be lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, one more reason why I would not like the president. You motherfucker. I did all this, and you closed up shit. You orange motherfucker. But I saved myself that anger. I did not apply.
That was probably smart because, you know, if you have a bad day, they don't look at you quite the same way in any other industry when you're having a bad day as they do in the post office.
No, the post office, you get respect when you're having a bad day. You get social distancing. People give you a wide berth.
A wide berth.
All right. So I'll bring this up. Joe and I were arguing about this on Facebook. I'll open it up to discussion. So the Blue Angels and the other one. There's two of them. There's two of these plain. What are they?
The Thunderbirds. The Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds.
The Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds. Yeah, you're into this type of shit. The Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds are doing flyovers over various cities in the United States. Today was New York and New Jersey too, I believe. For the medical community as a thank you to the medical community. And after the next war, the medical community will give free circumcisions to the military coming home as a thank you. So they're really hand in hand, thank each other their specialties. We'll cut you fly for us. It's really very nice. Anyway.
Hand in hand, so to speak.
Exactly. So the argument is, Joe's argument is, it lifts up morale. Okay. Maybe. I mean, my contention is a couple things. First of all, we're broke. The Fed has no money. The states have no money. A lot of people don't have any money. But some people pointed out to me, well, they have to log their airtime anyway. So why not do this? To me, that is the most reasonable explanation to do this. Well, if they got to be in the air, they might as well do something productive. If that is the reason, okay, I'll give you that. But the problem is, everybody comes out, and some of the medical professionals came out, and they're all fucking standing together. They're not social distancing. They're all grouped together. It kind of defeats the purpose.
Well, that is a really bad optic.
Not as bad as Mike Pence going to the Mayo Clinic and be the only one not wearing a mask. That's a really bad optic. It's like, motherfucker.
Oh, God. Just killed me.
It might kill him. I don't understand. But, I mean, here's my thing. If you're going to do a flyover and say you have to be in the air anyway, I don't think this is a time for celebration because we're still in the thick of this. We've lost 57,000 Americans and counting. We have over a million infected and counting. If you're going to do this flyover, I would rather see a formation where they honor the dead. Because we haven't really done that. It hasn't really, you know, the president gets up there, he doesn't really talk about that. Sometimes on the state level they do. Sometimes the governors do. But I would, if they're going to do it, because this is not over. To me, this was kind of like when W landed on the aircraft carrier and said, mission accomplished, and we had a lot further to go. At this stage, if it doesn't cost us any money and they have to fly anyway, I would, because we're doing stuff for the medical professionals. You know, the local communities are celebrating them and everything. And really, they don't want to fly over. They want PPE. They want hazard pay. The president called this a war. Some of them said, all right, then treat it like the GI Bill. Pay for our education. That's really what the medical workers want. If we're going to do the flyover, let's do it for those that we've lost. That's just my take. What do you think?
The planes flew over for an hour. What's the big deal? I mean, you know, they flew over. They flew in formation. The whole thing was an hour. Everybody was looking forward to seeing it. What's the big deal?
I don't know if everybody was looking forward to seeing it.
A lot of people were looking forward to seeing it.
What do you think, Pip?
You know what? I really didn't get a feel for if people were excited about it or not. I wasn't, like, watching the news specifically to see that because it was sort of, you know, well, I knew it was going to happen. I knew that there would be some people that would be excited about it and that other people would be like, either meh or, you know, take that, really, this is what we're doing. But I kind of feel like I hadn't thought about, because I didn't know that they had a regulation amount of time.
That's what I was told. That's what some people told me on Facebook. I don't know if that's true, but we can pretend it is.
They were running about 20 minutes ahead of schedule.
No, no, that's not what she means. That in order to keep up their, the pilots, in order to keep up their certification, they have to log a certain amount of airtime.
Yeah, but you guys are carrying on like it was this big, like, war parade going down Times Square.
Well, no, but they're doing a bunch of these.
But
this isn't the only one. They're doing it in a bunch of cities. This is not the list.
Nice.
What?
Okay, that's nice. Whatever.
I don't know. I don't know. We're kind of broke right now. So if it's costing us money, I don't think it's a good idea.
It's 12 planes. It's not the whole fucking Air Force.
How much do you think it costs to get them up in the air?
Jeez, I don't know.
It's not like filling up at the gas. It's not like filling up at Sunoco.
Well, you know, there's another thing that I always thought, because every police department has to qualify on a range. And if you don't know that, you would be like a taxpayer and hear them going kapow, pow, 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 and like using all this like overtime to come in and qualify and using up all the bullets and everything. And you think, what are they doing? What a waste. But they actually have to do it. It's a regulation. So I think it's the difference between people knowing that they have to do it anyway versus people being upset, like, it seems like a waste of money. My first instinct would have been like, gee, it seems a little bit early and it's kind of a waste, but if they have to do it anyway, you know, if they wanted to fly around and let people see them and cheer them up, I don't see any harm in it right now.
What about instead doing it for those that we've lost?
The branding would have been nicer than trying to make it like, you know, they didn't make it like, oh, yay, we've won or we've succeeded. They were doing it for the people who were on the front lines. I don't see that it was, I think that they're really, really the only chance that we have. You know, they're fighting the good fight. I think it's like saying thank you to our armed forces.
But it's not really saying thank you to our medical people when we're not giving them the tools they need to survive, not let alone to do their job, to live. It's just hollow. If we were doing all we could do as a country, if we didn't have them constantly begging for the equipment, it wouldn't seem so shallow to me. Then it would seem like, oh, that's kind of cool. You know, hey, we're in this with you. But the fact of the matter is, we're not doing all we can do.
Well, here's the thing. Now, I'm hearing, I'm kind of talking out of my butt because I don't know the facts. I'm hearing that the feds are confiscating PPE for their own use away from the states.
Well, I could tell you anecdotally, because my sister-in-law who has COVID-19 up in Massachusetts, she works.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. She works. She does a rehabilitation in a senior home in a senior home facility, and they didn't have any cases, and then they brought people in from a place that did have cases. So now everybody's sick. But, like, yeah, they don't have supplies because they would order supplies and the Fed would confiscate them.
Yeah, okay.
So they wouldn't get – and states are saying the same thing. And, you know, that's why all the governors are bitching. It's like, well, first you make us go and order it ourselves, which is ridiculous. So we work out these orders and then we don't even get them because the Fed comes in and takes it or FEMA comes in. So you got 51 entities just in this country. Forget about Puerto Rico and Guam and all that. But 51 entities just in this country competing for it when it should be one. That's what I'm saying. We're not doing the best we could do. That's all.
Right.
Why are they confiscating it?
Because the Fed placed an order. They want it. No, because the state's placed an order, but the Fed wants it. So the Fed's going to win. So I don't know. I guess like they're stopping trucks or something. But you hear it from all the governors too. It's like we placed these orders. We had a deal. We have contracts. The Fed came in and took it. So there you go.
It's a friggin' third world.
It is.
You know, like, you know how when, you know, other country, you know, the first world gathers together resources and sends it to some famine-torn country or something, and then the warlords stop the trucks and steal their stuff? This is what this sounds like.
That, but that's what's going on. Because at my sister-in-law's facility, they've ordered it, and they had contracts for it. Didn't come. They were told it was taken. And you're hearing that from the governors throughout the months. That's why they're so infuriated. That's one of the reasons that they're so infuriated. So that's what I'm saying.
What are they confiscating?
PPE. Gowns, masks, gloves, all that type of stuff, shields, all that type of stuff that traditionally the federal government handled, but the states were told to handle. So they've tried to, you know, by hook and by crook, they've gotten deals, and then the FEMA or the federal government that comes in and swoops. It's ridiculous. So that's all I'm saying about the Blue Angels thing. Yeah, it's nice. We should celebrate our medical performers who are our medical workers who are on the front line of this, but we're fucking failing them. We are failing them so badly that it's just like, really, is this what we're doing right now? I made this analogy. It's like you have a car that's like rusted out, has no engine, has no transmission, and you make a really nice paint job on it. Okay, it looks nice, but the shit still don't run on the list of things that needed to be done. Paint job was way down on the list. That's how I look at the Blue Angels. It's fine. It's okay. It's not the best use of our time.
Well, you know what? If I had a neighbor come to my front door when I was starving and show me, you know, pictures of apple pies, that okay, that's nice. But meanwhile, their husband ran around the back door and went in the house and stole the last rice and beans I had. Yeah, fuck you and your apple pie pictures.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, no, because I happen to know what's going on. The reason I know what's going on is because I have family in the medical profession, and I saw my wife get inundated with the, oh, you know, I mean, our 3D printer was running nonstop for 3 weeks. It ran so much, now it's broken. We have a $2,000 machine that's fucking broken now, because if you run them nonstop, that's what happens, and we can't find anyone to replace it. And why were we running it nonstop? We weren't making dildos. We weren't making Harry Potter wands. We weren't making TIE fighters. We were making PPE because so many people needed. And there's still so many people today on their 3D printers making the PPE. So that's what I said. I know we are still at this moment failing our medical professionals. So I see that, and I hear what Joe's saying. Well, you know, it cheers you up. And yeah, for some people, it probably does cheer them up, and that's nice. But I know behind that shiny paint job, there's nothing in the engine. There's nothing under the hood, I should say.
Yeah. I mean, it's too little, too late at this point.
No, we still could be getting them the stuff. They still need the stuff.
I know they do.
It's just,
I mean, you know, you're not giving essentials. And, you know, it's like, here's some pretty bows.
Yeah, so that's my problem. I'm not angry at the pilots of the Thunderbirds and the Blue Angels from doing it. I'm not even that worked up over it. I'm not that angry over it. It's just like, it's just so fucking trite when you realize what these people are going through and what they need to save our lives, and we can't even do that. 4 months into this shit, or going on our fifth month into this shit, we can't even do that. So that's why, to me, it's like kind of like, duh, it's kind of like a parade in the middle of a war. I like a parade at the end of the war. You know, at the end of World War II, we had the parade, the sailor kisses the girl in the middle of Times Square. Fuck yeah, that's pretty damn cool. I like a parade when we win. I don't like a parade in the middle of the war. And the president has called this a war, his prerogative. That's fine. In some ways, it is. In some ways, it isn't. But it's certainly an onslaught of something that's killing us. So, to me, it's kind of like a parade. And again, it's no malice to the Thunderbirds or the Blue Angels. To me, it's just like, I don't know if now's the time.
Yeah, no. I didn't understand at first. I mean, and I do get, it takes a little bit of the sting out that they have to do it anyway, but I do agree with you. It's like, what good is this to the people that you're supposedly honoring?
And you know what? And here's the thing: we're still losing people every day. We're over 57,000 people. I mean, and the toll and the death toll still keep climbing. And it, you know, listen, when you see the Thunderbirds or the Blue Angels normally at a plane show, what are they called? Air show. At an air show, it's usually fucking awesome. You know, when I go to football games, sometimes they do the flyovers. It's kind of cool. You know, the Blackhawks do a flyover. It's kind of cool. But that's when you're in a celebratory mood. When, you know, you're out having a good time. Yeah, this is America. Rah, rah. We're celebrating. This is something really cool that we have. Now, it just seems like maybe now's not the time. Not that we don't need distractions. We do need distractions. I don't know. Yeah. It's just, I think the thing that bothers me is we're still not doing what we need to do for our medical people to keep them safe, to enable them to do the best job. I think that's why I'm really annoyed. I think if, like I said, I think if we were doing everything we could do, I think I'd feel a little better about it. But that's me.
Yeah. Yeah,
Well, FEMA's been saying, you know, just being a devil's advocate, FEMA's been saying that they have been the equipment because they're trying to prioritize where the equipment goes in high contagious areas where they're having the most contagious.
But Joe, that contradicts the president who tells all the states they have to get them themselves. Normally, if the Fed was handling this stuff like I believe they should and they always have through every other disaster, that would be absolutely correct. That would be the right thing to do. But when you make the states have to negotiate their own things, and you make the hospitals have to negotiate, and you make the senior homes have to negotiate, everybody has to get their own equipment. It's not right. It's not right.
Like I was saying last week, this has been a learning curve. We've never been through something like this before. Now, like I said, obviously mistakes are being made. But Joe,
here's the thing. You use the word learning curve. Learning curve implies learning. This shit has been going on for over four months. We're not learning anything. That's the problem. We're not doing anything. We're not adapting.
It's technically we're 2 months in with this, you know, when it really started, you know, hitting the fan. And we're just trying, you know, we were unprepared for it, you know. We never faced something like this before.
Right, I have friends all over the world. I have friends all over the world. Right now, we are a laughingstock at the way we've handled this. I mean, we've shit the bed on this thing. And there's things right now we could be doing today by executive order that we could be doing to make this better. And we're not.
I've named a few.
The National Production Act. Defense Production Act? That's what it is. Yeah, that way we wouldn't have to be scrounging around for chemicals and cotton swabs and masks and everything. Hey, Wrangler, guess what? Guess what you're doing now? You're making masks. And every administration does this shit. This administration has enacted. What are they enacted for? Weapons. They do this shit all the time. The Obama administration enacted it for shit they wanted. W's administration enacted it for shit they wanted. It doesn't make us Venezuela. It just makes the government do shit they want to do. Okay. This is something that's kind of important. You know?
We did it for the ventilators. They're making the ventilators.
But we didn't do it with everybody. No, we're picking and choosing. It could be a lot more. It could be a lot more. And everybody's scratching their head. Why? Because it makes no sense. If the president wants to win again, which I'm sure he does because he hates losing, if he would be a hero if he would have done this shit sooner. It would be going better for him if he did it today. So the head-scratching thing is, why? There are things that we could be doing. Another thing that we could be doing, I mean, this guy isn't going to do it. But, I mean, you know, we get these guidelines about what we need to do if we're going to open up. The president stands by the guidelines. The next day, liberate the states. Well, what is it? Are we supposed to? So now all the states are feeling the pressure because a lot of people listen to President Trump. So should we liberate the states or do we listen to the guidelines? There's no consistency. You have the doctor saying one thing and then you have Trump and some of the other politicians saying the other. Everybody needs to get the same damn message. It's confusing for people. It's stressing people out. It's making it worse for everybody. I mean, these are just little things.
How is it making it worse?
How is it making work? Well, one day when the president goes, these are the guidelines that we recommend. You should not do this. If you do this for 14 days, then you can begin to phase one. Then you do that for another 14 days. This is phase two. These are the guidelines he rolls out. The next day when he goes liberate the states and he attacks the governors and you get these people and he's encouraging these protesters, it doesn't help. It builds unrest. We're not united. I mean, every other politician, Angela Merkel is up to 79% approval rating. Macron in France, who's kind of divisive, he's up 10 points in approval with the way he's handling it. Trump is down. He's down. I mean, we rally around
countries, and you're talking about countries that are about the size of a small state or a medium-sized state.
What's that mean?
Basically, what it was, you mentioned that, is that they were recommendations. Also, Trump has been coming under fire because he was, you know, especially with Cuomo, when he said, well, I have the hand and I have the final decision. And then Cuomo turned around and said, well, no. It's the governor's decisions of what they want to do. It's not your decision. So he's letting the governors have the decision.
Well, no. And that's another thing he's been back and forth on. One minute it's his decision. The next minute it's the state's decision. Then it's his decision. There's no consistency. Listen, the state has responsibilities to do certain things, and the federal government has this responsibility. The federal government should be procuring the supplies. And then, like you said, FEMA should be looking who needs it more. Okay, New York needs it more. Then you give it to Cuomo, go, listen, your state's in trouble. Then you give it to the state to distribute. That's what you should be doing. Instead, we got different states making their own tests and everything. It's ridiculous.
Trying to get the states, and the basic thing is, it's been the state's rights. The state's right to do this, the state's right to do that.
No, it's not the state's rights to create their own test. They're not individual countries. They don't have the wherewithal to do it. It's not their job. This guy, listen, man, this guy's trying to I was going to say he's reinventing the wheel. He's not trying to do that. He's not bright enough for that, in my opinion. But we have a way where the country rallies, whether it be Republican or Democrat. Historically, the country rallies, and we're not doing that now. And it's because every other president has been able to focus us on the goal. And this was right here for him. This was right before his face, just like the Nazis were. Nazis bad, always a winner. Pandemic bad. Gotta kill. We gotta unite against the pandemic. Always a winner. This shit is layup stuff. I mean, we're divided about a lot of things like women's right to choose and gay rights and all that stuff. But Nazis, pandemics, you can get the vast majority of people to side with you, whether they're Nazis or not. Jews, blacks, Nazis, we all kind of fucking hate pandemics.
I understand that, but basically, just because if you started enforcing one rule, then the states would start complaining.
I haven't heard any states complaining. I have not heard any states complaining that they're getting too much guidance from this government.
I think that they would be overreaching, you know, on what
they're
going to do. I mean,
give me an example. Give me an example where a state has threatened to sue because the federal government is taking such a strong lead during this pandemic.
They didn't threaten to sue, but Governor Cuomo had the whole to do with the President Trump. In regards to you know, Trump saying, well, I have the control over what the states do. And then Cuomo fired back, no, the governors have the control of what the states do. Think about that on a 50-state level, if that was national.
Right,
yes,
but not when it comes to developing tests. Not when it comes to procuring supplies. That's a government. That's a federal government thing. It always has been a federal government.
Testing on the tests, and maybe why there was so much differential on the test, is because basically sometimes under the FDA guidelines, it takes so long to get something approved. So we're just trying to try everything, every method, to find out what method is working the best. If you say, well, we're going to try this one method here, well, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. Why don't we try all these different
methods? No. Well, you're missing the point. They're making the states not only develop the stuff, but they're making the states get the supplies for the tests. They're making the states get the chemicals, getting the cotton swabs. You can't do that.
Well, and they're
why not?
The states competing against each other,
right,
in the marketplace. That's what's made it crazy.
Yes, that's why you can't do it. It's just
it, it, well.
Listen, there's a reason why every other president figured this shit out and kind of rallied us and we got through this shit and we were good to go. And there's a reason why this one isn't. I mean, whatever.
If the government started allocating everything, and you know, and we're even watching what you're claiming here. If the government starts allocating it, now the states are going to complain that they're not getting their fair share. They're not getting what they have to. If the states take it upon themselves, the states will ensure that they will get what they need.
No, that's it, Joe. They're not ensured they're getting what they need. I just told you. The governors are complaining we ordered stuff, and then it's taken away from them. You can't have it both ways.
Well, so now that you so with that being said, if that's your theory, now
it's not my theory. I don't have a theory. I listen to them.
If they have it developed one thing the way you're saying, don't you think it's going to be a problem when they have one thing that they think might work? And now it's going to be allocated? Is it going to be different than the way a gown is allocated, the way a shield is allocated?
You know, Joe, when we have a hurricane and it hits a region, Florida doesn't have to compete with Alabama.
You didn't answer the question.
I don't even know what your fucking question is. Here's the answer, though.
My question is, if they have one method of testing and so on that they think might be okay and they have the materials to do it, do you think if the government centrally handled that, do you think the allocation of that test would be handled the same way they're handling the allocation of medical protective devices? Do you think that, you know?
I don't know what this administration would do. Every other administration, right, left, or center.
The way things are going now are not working.
You're
not talking about the same things, guys. You're talking about the difference between what has already happened, what's been said, what we're seeing happening, and what potentially might happen. Those are two different things. What we're talking about is like, and I agree. You know, like Davin jumped on your word. You know, in your scenario, it's not the scenario. It's what actually happened. If I can just go back for a second, it's like Trump said, I don't take responsibility for this. And then the state said, what? Okay, well then I guess we have to do this. And then he turned around and said, but this part I do want to be in charge of when you open up. It's like, no. He decides what appeals to him at the moment, but is what's not the constitutional rights of the states versus the Fed. And everybody else used to do that. So now we have a situation where there's somebody who is capricious about the rules. That's what's going on. And that's what's frightening. And Davin can't answer your question, what do you think is going to happen? Because this is Australian rules football. We don't fucking know what's going to happen.
Yes, we don't know. And that's why it's chaos. And
yeah,
that this is a listen. He and Bannon came in.
We don't know what's gonna happen. No matter who's running the country.
No. Well, listen. You don't know, but there's usually a steady hand in leadership. Whether you liked Obama or W, and I'm sure the people who liked Obama did not like W, and vice versa. Whether you liked them or not, you knew they were running shit. Now with W, you might have said Dick Cheney was running shit. Okay, you knew one of them were running shit. Yeah. What? Okay. Okay. Whatever. Whether you like Cheney or didn't like Cheney, and a lot of people didn't like Cheney, you knew who was running shit. Every day, you knew who was running shit. The same thing with Obama. The same thing with Clinton. The same with Bush Sr. The same thing with Reagan. We always knew who was running shit. This guy, one day I alone can fix this. The next day I take no responsibility. He makes shit up as he goes along. On March 6th, everybody who wants to have a test can get a test. Yesterday, it's up to the states to get a test. In March, he trots out all the companies, Walmart and CVS are right in, I don't remember which. We're gonna have testing in parking lots. Trots out Google. We're gonna have this great program. Takes a shot at Obamacare while he's doing with the great program. We're gonna have this great program where we're gonna be able to monitor where the COVID-19 is, and then it fucking disappears because he just fucking talked. And the problem for this guy is now people are paying attention. But But we'll get more to him later. But to answer your question, Joe, no, I don't know what's going to happen. And that doesn't make anybody happy. I wish I could tell you what was going to happen. I really do. I wish I could tell you one way or another what will happen tomorrow. None of us know, and it's a very unsettling feeling. But I will say that's why we look to our leaders for guidance. And right now he's underwater with seniors. So, but anyway, let's talk about a couple fun things, and then we'll get back to arguing later on. So as you guys know, I watched the 90 Day Fiance because I can't live a fucking life anymore. So
this show cracks me up.
See, you're watching.
30 minutes debate on policy.
Oh, this show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
I know, really. How long have you been part of this? 9 years? And you're just fucking dawning on your stupid.
I know. But it's just like, yeah. It's like, wait a minute. I got whiplash from that segue.
But here's the reason for that. Here's the reason for it. We have two things that are so omnipresent in our life. Donald Trump has been omnipresent in our life since 2015 when he announced he was running, which is just the way he wanted it. Mission accomplished, Mr. President. And we had COVID-19. And the two of them have fucking collided into a shit show. So, yeah, it's omnipresent. I wish it wasn't. I wish I didn't think about these things all the time. I really do. That's why I watch 90 Day Fiancé. So I'm going to bring this shit up now.
Take it a break.
Yeah. So a few weeks ago, there was Darcy and Richard. I don't know. Darcy's a little cute blonde from Connecticut, 45 years old, big tits. I don't think they're hers. Although her twin sister has the same tits. They either went to the same doctor or... I don't know.
Well, they're great in a witness stand.
Just telling you.
What does the suspect look like?
Fine. She has fine mammaries. They are full mammaries. You happy now?
As a boy.
Yeah, okay.
Hers now.
Exactly. That's not here nor there. Anyway, she's from Connecticut. He's from England. It has not worked out, as you would imagine. So he invites her to New York. He's flying to New York for business. He invites her to New York where they can meet. Basically, it's to say it's over, which is a terrible meeting to have. Let me drive for it's over. But on the way out, it's not going well. He goes, Richard goes to Darcy. Ah, it looks like you've gained weight. Whoa! Wow!
Ooh.
So.
Wow, shots fired!
Yeah, so the question is.
Should I throw a ramp down?
The question is, when breaking up, do you take that jab or do you pull your punches? I say you pull your punches. I say there's no reason to take that shot.
No. If you're the one that's doing the breaking up, you try to be, like, respectful about it.
You want to know something? Yeah, I think so. When Joanne and I were, you know, going through our divorce, when I would, you know, post the co-owner stuff, I didn't do that because I had nothing else better to do and I wanted to be mean. I did that because she was doing the most, you know, just making life so difficult. And just as a comic, it's a way to fight back. But like that being said, I never goofed on, you know, her looks or anything like that. It'd be awful to do. I couldn't do a thing like that.
I feel like I've had exes that would take that shot at me, but I don't think I'm the one. Not at this point. Maybe as a high school kid, but I don't feel now. I think now I wouldn't really say anything.
Yeah, no. As a grown-up, unless a person, like cheated on you or was fighting you for custody of your kids and you have, like real stuff to hash out.
No! He cheated on her! He cheated on her!
Oh, then he's a dick.
Oh, he's an asshole.
But then the following episode or two episodes later, he did drive up to apologize, but she wasn't having. By then, the damage is done. I don't think. I think he tried to keep it classy on the way out. That's my take.
But you ever notice that a lot of guys, a lot of girls, like guys and put up with guys that are assholes? I don't get it. But, you know, I think there are girls that like that, that like, you know, that like dealing with that.
Well, I believe we've dealt with, we've been doing the scammer clips. Didn't Jane deal with a fake Davin that was an asshole?
That's different, though.
No, they're all real women looking for a real relationship. How dare you? How dare you?
Is this going to be another 20-minute argument?
It could be.
Suggesting
that the women I've spent hours with talking to, seldom on video, but chatting with via text, might not be pure and you know, and that they're not the same as Darcy and Richard. I'm a little insulted.
Yeah, but it's like these girls, I know that date these guys and just treat them like shit, and then
they run back for more. You know what? I want to be those guys.
You run back to a guy like that, you know?
I want to be that guy.
I wouldn't understand to be that guy.
I'd love to be that guy. Think about it. You could be supermarket you to a girl, and she'd like it.
But I don't want to be that person. You know, I couldn't be that. Look,
yeah, you could.
The show, we go back and forth. No, I could not. I mean, I couldn't. I can't live. Oh boy, I can't believe I'm saying this. You're gonna call. I can't live my life aggravated. I do.
What are we talking to the ghost of Joe Curry now?
It's not true.
What are you a ghost?
I don't like confrontation.
You wake up bitching.
I know. You've seen that.
Yeah. Oh, you fucking lie to us.
You want a peaceful life, but I wouldn't want to take advantage of somebody. I wouldn't want to, just tell, well, this is the way it is, and I could, you know, or just be rude or an asshole to somebody like that. I couldn't do that. I really couldn't. I mean, look, with my marriage broke up, but that was after years, and I'm talking over 10 years of trial. We married 19 years, and we tried. When my marriage ended, you know, Joanne and I both knew it, and it wasn't for a lack of trial. We tried everything in the book. There were years that I was very happily married. I was content and stuff like that, and I could never be, you know, that asshole. I could never be the guy that would say, hey, look, this is what it costs to live here. I'm taking money out of your check. And I'll give you an allowance or something like that. I could never do that. I always said, this is what it costs to live here. This is what we need on either side. And this is what I would, you know, I would need. And we need to work on this together. I couldn't kind of like trap a woman where it's an existence for them, where they feel kind of trapped. I respect women. I was raised by my mother and I was raised by my grandmother, okay? I see the struggle of women, how women go through and stuff like that, and always to be respectful of women. And I've always, you know, like I said, as an only child, you know, and watching my mother struggle, I've always, you know, tried to help women that needed help and stuff like that. And for anybody that would treat a woman or try to confine them, I could never understand that person. I could never understand doing something like that.
Well, I can just tell you right now my wife is trapped. All right, so we all agree she can't go nowhere. And if she does go where, I insist she covers her face. So that's how I'm rolling right now. All right, so we all agree, keep it classy on the way out.
Yeah.
Next 90-day, or technically before 90-day fiancé. So this is a young lesbian couple, Stephanie and Erica. I believe Stephanie is from Yonkers, New York, and I believe Erica's the one from Australia. So we'll say Stephanie's the one from Yonkers just for the point of this. She's a very jealous person. Erica is kind of like Rainbow Bright. She is. She looks like Rainbow Bright. Half her hair is purple, half her hair is pink. I don't know. I don't even know what's going on downstairs, but I'd like to taste the rainbow. But anyway.
You're a free spirit.
Yes, we get it. Look at you, breezy like the air. I get it.
We get it.
Nothing can keep you down, sunshine.
Right. We get it.
All right.
Why? What's wrong with her hair being like that?
Nothing.
It's just there's nothing wrong with it, but it's like when you have, like, I'm a lesbian and I'm free and this is the way I wear my hair. We
Listen, if anybody knows about being a free lesbian, it's Joe. So. So anyway, so Stephanie's got some trust issues. She's very jealous. Erica, the Australian, has hooked up with some of her friends, including her best friend. She's hooked up, kissed.
Oh, no.
Well, in the past, not since she's been with Stephanie.
Oh.
Yeah, so she's hooked up in the past. So so Erica invites Stephanie to her friends for a party. And I believe Stephanie, Erica's best friend is Adam, who's a dude who she's hooked up with. That's her best friend. So they're sitting there at the table, and Stephanie's like, yo, so what's the deal with this relationship? What are your intentions? And that caused a holy fucking war. They'd already been fighting throughout this whole trip. They'd already been fighting.
Right.
But that caused a war that Stephanie was, like, so brazen asking Erica's friends what the deal was. But Stephanie's like, but I'm only here for a few weeks. I gotta know.
But you know what? I think women, and regardless if it's a woman dating a man or a woman dating a woman, I think women focus a lot on past relationships. And if that person comes around, they feel like there's trouble of ruin. Even though there's not, but they have this, Pip, you're a woman. Is that true?
Well spotted.
Is that what's going on underneath your chair, Pip? Well spotted?
I do think that there's a subtle kind of body language and vibe reading that goes on. And women can really, tell when another woman is, like, on the make for your man. And if they start sniffing that attitude going on, yeah, there's going to be problems. There's going to be a minor or a major catfight going on. But if they're not, if the, you know, things have gone by and, there's like a friendship, but there's no designs on him anymore, they've moved past, there shouldn't be that. But there are some women that can't abide their man being anywhere near another woman, like within a block of another female. But there, there are some that it's like, yeah, they're like, Mr. Helix has lived on the planet long enough that he has imbibed in other women. I get it. But I mean, I'm really good friends with his ex-wife. But I cannot stand his ex-girlfriend.
Right, but see, that's just it. Like, imagine if it's new, and you're just meeting, somebody who's supposedly Mr. Helix's best friend, but they've hooked up. I mean, it's kind of a tough situation.
It is a tough situation.
I've been in that situation. I've been in that situation.
You didn't feel the spidey sense, though.
But you know what? No, I've been in the situation. It's like, yeah, well, I gotta trust you, because that's the thing I'm supposed to say. But...
Right.
But there's in the back of your head go, I don't want you two together. But I don't know if I would have the chutzpah to confront like she did. So on one hand, I got to give Stephanie a lot of credit. But on the other, it's like, I don't know if this party was the right place. I realize you're limited in time, but I don't know if this party where you're outgunned is the right place to do it.
Were they drinking? Were they having drinks already?
I don't think Stephanie was drinking, but other people were drinking.
All right, yeah, okay. Because sometimes, people get a little drunk, and they're inhibitions, but their balls grow larger, even though it's women. But, they I don't give a fuck. I'm going to ask, and here we go,
I think, I think she has, I understand her curiosity. I understand why she needs to know, and I understand her time was limited. But I feel like you knew it was going to go badly. Maybe it's just time. Maybe now's not the time.
No. I mean, sometimes it's just awkward as hell. I had a situation once where I had a work friend. Well, this is a little complicated. I had a work friend, and I had a secret work boyfriend. Yeah, kinda. And then there was another guy that kinda liked me.
Oh, look at you! Look at you! Wow, you were just in your prime. You were giving all sorts of pheromones.
Apparently, I was, pressing out the sexual vibe. But there was a situation where
the three of us went out with my work friend's wife. Now, work friend, it turns out, had cheated on the wife, and she knew. So we're sitting at a table, and she starts asking me questions. Like, it's New York, it's the 80s. She starts asking me questions. She just met me about what kind of birth control I use.
Wow.
As a single woman. And it was her not-so-subtle insinuation saying, are you fucking my husband?
And wow.
I'm like, so I know. I was like, God damn, woman. I just met you.
I hope you told her that her husband pulls out. I mean, you know, that he's a gentleman about it, and he comes on your back, and you respect their marriage, so you never kiss and look each other in the eyes. I hope you told her that.
He splashes his sauce all over me like a zit. All right? Are you happy now?
That's gross.
Well, I was just like, I was so horrified, and I was sitting there thinking, yeah, I don't know what he does, but you could ask Mike about all of that, you know, and everybody but it would have been, whoa, because nobody knew about us. But it was just like, it was so aggressive and so awkward. I vaguely remember what I said. I just said something like, well, that's not something I'm in the habit of talking about at a table full of people. But I knew what she was getting at.
It was in front of a table full of people?
It was her, me, and these three guys that I work with, all of them. And I was like, that's classy, lady.
Well, that's it. And Stephanie did it.
Let me ask you a question. How long between the time she asked the question and you answered? Because there had to be a, like, in that time between, there had to be a moment, maybe maybe 20 seconds, and you're going, what? What the fuck? Before you answered. Am I hearing
you? Yeah. No, I think that my state, because I don't usually hide those kind of shock moments very well. I probably looked at her like, what the fuck, for about 10 seconds and said, that's not something that I discuss with my coworkers. Because guy at the table I worked with, now I was fucking one of them, but not the one she thought.
Well, there you go. She guessed wrong.
I know.
You have the only vagina that's like, let's make a deal. Pick which dick is behind door number two.
You should have Monty Hall opening your vulva.
Yeah. Opa spreads Pip's legs and out pops a donkey. Wah, wah.
Wah. Well, that happens all the time.
Sure.
You remember on that show when they used to have the prize where they did bring out the donkey and the fucking couple from Arkansas thought they won?
Well, when Pip spreads her legs, you get a donkey. You think you won. Go, this could have been much worse.
No, the thing is, I have to, you know, all kidding aside, I have to reject the title of slut because I was only fucking one of them.
So far.
Ever.
So far.
No, the whole time I worked there, there was just one guy, and because it was at work and that was breaking my own rules, we kept it quiet.
Yeah. Well,
you know, but
no fucking the coworkers rule, huh?
I did, and I broke it.
You tarnished those words,
I sure did. I tarnished a lot of things with them. But the thing,
wow.
The thing was that, I couldn't let everybody at the table know, well, you're jealous for no reason here. I'm not doing anything with your husband.
Now, this guy, he's seen more Trojans than the Roman army, you know?
Yeah, it's like, wait a minute now.
All right.
Yeah.
We will, we'll save the final 90-day fiancé for another time.
Because
there was another one. So we all feel, we understand the jealousy, but maybe at the party in front of people, not the best time?
No.
Yeah.
No. Bad move.
Her argument's like, I'm leaving next week, though. When else am I going to get this opportunity?
I guess the person aside, perhaps.
Well, yeah.
And plus, regardless what your situation is with that person that you're dating, that's a big argument in the car. That's a long argument at the house.
Oh, no, she left the party. Stephanie left the party early. It was such a big deal. Erica wouldn't look at her. Stephanie left the party early.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. The whole damn thing, yeah.
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 That's the thing about broads. You can't you can't have these issues. That's why I always look at every woman head down, ass up. That's the extent of it.
Wait,
thank you, misogynistic Davin.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
MD.
Yes, MD. I'm a doctor too. Where's my PPE? I need some gloves.
It's down in your pants.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I can't do it. We're on Facebook Live. I can't show you. All right.
Please
don't. No, I won't. All right. So we will take...
If you did, people would go, pee-pee.
Yes.
All right. Thank you for that contribution.
That joke was funny. But,
not really. It's...
I have a witness. She laughed.
What type of witness is she? She's an office whore. The office whore is your character witness? Okay. Okay, good luck with that. Yeah, you know what?
If you're at the gig and you tell a joke and the audience really didn't laugh, but the waitress did, still a fucking win.
What's the waitress look at? What's the waitress look like, and is she giving me free drinks? There's variables.
Oh no, misogynistic Davin, that was funny. PPU.
No. If it's an ugly waitress who's like barely acknowledging me or not giving me free drinks, I don't give a shit if I made that bitch laugh.
Attractive audience members to laugh at you. Okay, noted.
No, waitresses or giving me free drinks. So,
all right.
So be attractive or ply me with booze. I don't really think I'm that wide on the spectrum on this. I think I'm right in the sweet spot to most men.
Sweet spots. What is with you tonight?
No, I'm just saying. I mean, you know, I don't think what I said is so outrageous. Human beings look to people as survival. So what can you do for me? So you can either ply me with booze or you can be eye candy. Those are the options if you're a waitress.
Okay.
The third option is we become friends and we hang out. That's cool too. But...
Oh,
But if you're just ugly and pay no attention to me and don't, like, offer me drinks or anything, what the fuck do I care about you? I don't need you in my universe.
When we start working the clubs, you got time to type up your rules, so when we start working the clubs, you can hand your list out at the podium to bring to the staff.
It's part of the rider. It's part of the rider. They know.
Can I put my merch table in the corner? Oh, by the way, here's this sheet. Hand that out to the staff, please.
Yeah. It's fair.
I can see Davin walking in and being, okay, you're hot. You just look at me and you giggle. You're ugly. Bring me drinks. You know, dividing and sort of conquering? No.
You don't think that calculus is going on in my head? Like, what do you think I'm thinking about when I walk in? I'm there an hour before the show.
You know what?
Where your merch table goes.
All right, there's a minute and a half.
You're not supposed to verbalize it. I'm just giving you some tips here.
No, Joe said write it down. I didn't verbalize it. I wrote it down.
Yeah, but you're handing it out.
That's not verbalizing, stupid. That's still written word. Unless I'm having William Shatner read it to them like it's a book on CD, it's a fucking written word.
only three demands.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Could be a lot worse. We all do those things. We all make those calculuses. What are you going to do for me? We all make those calculuses.
Right. True.
I'll let you know when I figure out what you two can do. I'll get back to you on that.
All right.
Still fucking
trying. Would you like a snack?
20 years, I'm still trying to figure it out. This is a slow burn.
Well, we know that Joe's the eye candy, and I make snacks. But they're full of disease.
Yeah, nobody wants the diseased snacks. All right.
I made brownies last night.
Yeah, nobody wants those. Nobody wants those, dear. Probably full of cat ass.
I do wash my hands.
Sure you do.
I make candy. candy, COVID minis. Who wants one?
All right. All right. Take our first break. On the break, we got new music from The Criticals with Talk Now and Superfecta with Mannequin. Short break, two songs. You can learn more about both them at deucemusic.com. Criticals with Talk Now, Superfecta with Mannequin, deucemusic.com. When we come back, should we ban...